You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. We're going into the third hour, going to get you all the way to go home time. In the meantime, you know the deal. It's Wednesday. That means we do a thing we like to call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio. And we ping each other with questions, just let the chips fall where they may. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. Let me just call the roll. From FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, he's the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Also does a whole bunch of other stuff for other news outlets. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you very much. War Eagle. Looking northwards towards the Huntsville market, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, Cumulus Broadcasting's WVNN, host of the Dale Jackson Show, also writes for Yellowhammer. Dale Jackson, are you there? Stand at ease. All right, we shall now call a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. Ba-da. All right, Dale Jackson, you first.
All right, I have a serious question here. I'm in a little bit of a beef with some Huntsville City School Board members. I don't really get into the beef too much, but my issue here is that all these people are freaking out because they're going to lose all their funding from the Department of Education. And I asked stupidly to people, I said, "Hey, well, has the Department of Education done anything good?" And here was her response, Andrea Alvarez, a terrible person. District 3 school board member, she said that they feed the children.
Yeah.
And they made sure there's no failing schools in Huntsville.
Yeah.
Two questions. The obviously the food is not free. We're paying for it. Would you guys consider an entire district where the kids are reading at about 37% the reading, 37% of the kids are reading at grade level to be failing?
That's a woman who is so far into her own bubble that she can no longer see the outside world. For her, I mean, there's things she might have said that she might have tried to defend the Department of Education. But to couch it in those terms clearly indicates she not only has a disconnect from reality, but she does not even know how to describe what she does for a job. I would question how she's going to run for re-election if that's going to be her stump speech. But truth be told, they don't feed anybody. They might send some money. But even still, the Department of Education just threatened to withdraw the food money for lower-income kids if we didn't jump into the transgender agenda under their Title IX interpretation. So right. I say the DOE can pound sand and go away, and she probably needs to find a new job. Jeff?
It sounds like she doesn't really know much of anything, just sort of there, but not know what the DOE does. No, I the Department of Education can you know, maybe it was a good idea at one time, but it's taken on so much and so much and so much that it's taken away local control from schools. What do you do with it? How do you wind it down? I'm all for eliminating it, but no. By the way, what does this have to do with your beef with the school?
Why'd you couch it in those terms? I'm curious. What's that got to do with the text about them picking on family members?
Well, they dox my kid.
Yeah.
And because I'm, quote, anti-public school, and he's six, but they just decided that was the way to handle it. I mean, one of them is a credibly accused drug dealer. That would be Ryan Renaud. The other is just a terrible person, Andrea Alvarez. Not that I didn't want to get into this, but that was their response to me asking these questions, was once again to dox my child.
Well, so first of all, even though their job is to make an environment for your child to learn, your child should also be off limits at the same time.
I would never send my kid to a school that had these two morons and anywhere near it, first and foremost. Secondly, the problem here is that they think I'm anti-public school, therefore I shouldn't have any say where my tax dollars goes. These people are morons. There's just no other way to put it.
Let me know if you want to call Lawyer Phil later on. to say. All right, next question.
Am I teetering near the brink somewhere?
I know. I'm saying you might need the cease and desist letter sent on your behalf or on Grant's behalf. How about that? All right, Jeff, next question. What do you got?
All right, Wendell Jackson thinks this does not matter, this Senate pro tem race. He could care less. It's uninteresting.
Ooh.
He is uninvolved, unemotionally moved. Will we be around to remind him 6 months from now when they're in session and he wants something stupid that they're not able to achieve his stupid desires because Roger Smitherman and our Bobby Singleton have decided to filibuster, and the person who was elected to pro tem is allowing it. Should we remind him, Senator?
So Dale, if you indeed really said that, and I was not present, so I'm giving you the wiggle room you might need to catfish or crawfish on your own statements, but if you really said that, that ranks up there with Alvarez's statement about the Department of Education.
I've made multiple videos on this super important topic, and it was the number one thing you should be talking about today on Monday, so I don't know what Mr. Poor is talking about. I may need you to send him a cease and desist letter from these attacks.
Mr. Jackson had to be nudged by his superiors to care about this.
Jeff Poor is my superior.
I can, by the way, I can just go ahead and I'll jump on the topic. That was what I was. You stole one of my questions, but it was a pretty obvious one. Greg Reed has been in the state Senate. He got elected same time I did back in 2010. He moved up into leadership, and he has been the pro tem now for what, 4 years? And he was majority leader before that. The reality is that pro tem position is key. That is actually, in my opinion, one of the most powerful positions in the entire state of Alabama's politics, is that pro tem. If somebody wants to wield it that way, and I don't mean like in a bad way per se, it's the kind of person that can get things done and block bad things from happening.
Let me short circuit this for just a second. Okay. So who do we want? Let's say that me and Jeff and Phil, we all agree on the premise of we want them to shut the Democrats down and actually do things.
Yeah.
Who do we want?
I floated three names. And by the way, there's some good people down there that could do it. But I floated three names on Jeff's show the other day. I said Chris Elliott, Sam Gavan, Arthur Orr. Those are three names that I would like to see in the mix on this. And Jeff brought up a great point. Whoever, one of those guys could wind up being rules chairman, which is also a huge deal. But that pro tem seat, That is. I can't tell you how that handles things related to not just the management of what's on the floor of the Senate, but the management of the Senate itself.
Isn't it just Garland Gudger and Steve Livingston? I mean, as much as I don't care about this, aren't those the two that are up there?
It's not going to be anybody but those two at this point. I don't think.
So who do we want?
First of all, I'll just say that Garland, I mean, I like Garland, but Garland had not voted against the school choice bill last year, I would say, I guess, Garland Gutter. But I'm concerned about where he is on some positions right now when he was pro-gambling and anti-school choice, and that's just antithetical to what the conservative base has been asking for. The guys I named are the ones.
If Livingston had to vote, he would be already pro tem. They would have done this yesterday. They moved the vote to December 3rd, and I guess the powers that be are going to get metal here and try to get Senator Livingston the votes. But I'm surprised Garland Gudger, he's got a better shot than I was led to believe, and maybe he could pull off the upset. You have a lot of weird things going on in the Senate. A lot of members maybe experience a little cognitive decline. Things like that are going on, guys. I look at this from the outside looking in, and the hand of God is trying to move it to Steve Livingston.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a hand of God, by the way. But I question whether or not I question whether or not anybody really wants to see the power of both the Speaker of the House of State of the state of Alabama and the pro tem of the state Senate both from the same county. I don't think that's going to be wise, or from the same delegation at the very least. We got that's Jackson County and DeKalb County. But either way, they're two very close friends. Nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is I'm pretty sure what we'd wind up seeing is a push for a gambling bill so fast we could hardly stand it. They would beg the governor to call a special session to put a casino in DeKalb County. That's what would happen. We can do better than this. How about that? Let me get my question in before we run out of time. Looking northward towards D.C. right now, if all of the Trump picks for different positions, make it through, the one that I think that has the most trouble, everyone would agree, is Matt Gaetz. He's got an ethics report that the Democrats are desperate to push out And Republicans are like, wait a minute, we never issue those reports to the public. So my question to you is that report fair game? Dale.
I want to say yes. And I like Marjorie Taylor Greene. You're like, let's release them all. I think that's what they should do, but they're not going to do that. This is a protection racket. If the role is different and it was Democrats and Republicans and this was the Biden administration, the Republicans would say release the report and the Democrats would say don't. That's the game.
But I think her play is right. You release one, we're going to release them all. Jeff?
It's absolutely not fair game. We've never done it that way.
Yep, that's right.
Let me say this about this ethics report. It probably works in Gates' favor. They just go ahead and release it. It's like pulling a Band-Aid off or whatever. But the way the media are covering this, it is so dishonest. The way Democrats are acting about it is dishonest. And look, the House needs to tell the Senate to go pound sand here. That, you know, that they're two separate branch or two separate entities and one branch of government. You can't have that sort of dynamic where the Senate kind of demands things from the House.
And I question too, would it wind up working in his favor, like you said, but because of like the Trump effect, you know, every time Trump got indicted or tried, his poll numbers went up. I just wonder, would it make Gates more of a hero, if you will? Either way, I still think he's got a bit of an uphill climb with at least some of the members for confirmations. Ah, that is round one of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and little old me. You guys stay tuned. We'll come right back. Round two, Grand Council. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just giving you all the truth you can slap on a bumper sticker. All right, we're going right back to round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. First question, second round. Dale Jackson, what you got?
I really wanted to ask about whether or not we were going to get any more people in the cabinet who will receive stone cold stunners. But we've got two already. I don't think that's going to happen with Linda McMahon and Donald Trump. That's probably about it. But instead, I want to ask a serious question.
All right.
How hard is the push for gambling going to be now that the Porch Creeks are off the reservation?
Well played with the off the reservation reference. That was well played. I think it's coming hard and it's coming fast, and they're going to I would not be a bit surprised to find out that they don't go for another special session opportunity. But here's the thing. I also look at some of what's happening with the Porch Creeks. I think you also have to watch out for the KIV lame duck governor Porch Creek compact. And I don't know. I mean, I have not had an opportunity to start calling my contacts in Montgomery, but I know Jeff has. So Jeff, what are you hearing?
This purchase of the property in Birmingham kind of makes you think compact or bust, right? I don't think they're going to do it in the legislature. I think they're losing a vote with Greg Reed, even. The guy who looks to be the favorite there is a state lawmaker, Matt Woods. He's not a gambling guy. The numbers appear to be drifting in the other direction with gambling. But as far as the compact goes, who knows what the governor does? I mean, she's just kind of governor in name only, as my colleague Joey Clark called her.
And she's really been I would say absentee. I mean, you look south at DeSantis, and I hate to keep – I mean, he's hard for anybody to stand up next to, but you look south at DeSantis, and you see what a governor can do when he wants to get out in front of an issue, when he wants to lead on an issue, when he wants to be present to provide assurances to his constituents. You're not seeing that right now in Montgomery from pretty much anybody. But that being said, that's why I'm a little concerned that they may have a route to her signature, if you know what I'm saying. Because all it takes is a governor's signature to enter into the compact with the Porch Creeks, and all of a sudden, boom, expansion of gaming. And then the Porch Creeks fight the rest of the gambling bills to try and keep anybody else from being in competition with them. It's a great – I mean, literally, I said every year, people always say, how'd that gambling bill go down? Well, I'd love to believe that it was all because we fought it, but it's also because the gambling interests themselves eat their own,
and
they kill it themselves every single
year.
But
they're on a team now. They're sharing money.
Well, now that Porch Creeks are buying up the competition, it does make you wonder. I don't know. Anyway, Jeff, next question. Run out of time. What do you got?
Hey, Tommy Tuberville's been pretty much Donald Trump's voice in the Senate or whatever you want to call him. He's been his biggest ally. And they ask you about every nominee, and AL.com also takes his comments out of context. Well, what do we think we're going to get to some kind of level of fidelity out of Katie Britt on these picks?
Yes, and I say that because of the Rick Scott thing. If she had not openly said I supported Rick Scott, then I would be concerned. I'd say she's couching it things. She's counting her vote. She's doing it. But when she got out front of the Rick Scott situation, it told me she was ready to do what is necessary to support the bigger cause. Now, I could see her getting sideways on Matt Gaetz if this thing comes out about the report and there's real credibility to the idea of him being, you know, a sex trafficker or whatever it was. But the reality is I think she's gonna vote in line with the idea of getting Trump his picks. I really do. Dale.
If they get to the floor, she's voting yes. I mean, that's it. Matt Gaetz, I don't think he's getting to the floor, but if he gets to the floor, it's a yes.
Simple answer, but I think you're right. All right, last question. So here's the deal. I saw a text or tweet from Tabitha Eisner, always good for a laugh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and she's, you know, for those who don't know, she's part of the Democrat leadership in the state of Alabama, always got an opinion, usually kind of self-owns herself on her tweets. But she tweeted out today that the Democrats supported transphobia or opposed transphobia from Republicans did not mean they were wrong. Okay, and yet today we find out that AOC has removed her pronouns from her social media. My question is this. Have the Dems learned their lesson? Did they recognize that the rest of America doesn't buy into this stuff and they recognize they lost the election in part because of wokeness, or are they just going to keep digging down deeper? Jeff.
I think Democrats probably won't, but I think the laws of economics are finally catching up with these media outlets. Who is buying advertising on this stuff? They were sold a bill of goods. They were told, this is where the country's going, guys. You want to associate your brand not with a more watched Fox News product, but an MSNBC touchy-feely Joy Reid 60 Minutes of Hate product. And you will be accepted by society. And now these companies are like looking at it like, wait a minute, none of that what you told us is true. We're moving our advertising around because this is where the country is. And I think you're seeing the economics finally, after all these years, kick in.
30 seconds. We saw that confirmed today, too, when a bunch of the wokest went back to advertising on X, including Disney. Dale, you want a tribute on that?
Steve Daines came out and said, my pronouns are Republican majority. So I think that tells you that they are not done. Look, Republicans want this culture war fight. Democrats should not. The media is going to drag them kicking and screaming into every single one of these things. And they don't know what to do because the angry mobs want them to be completely insane. And unfortunately, as of now, the insane people are inside the House. So they're in the caucus. And
it's something.
They got problems.
All right, you guys, Jeff Poor from 1819 News and host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile, Dale Jackson with Yellowhammer News and also the host of the Dale Jackson Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Appreciate you both. Have a great day. The Grand Council, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.